And the second part of verse 5 just through to the end of 7. It's very, very short. But we read these words in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, the second part. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. There's another one another for us. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then back in Galatians, we read these words just from the 22nd verse of that fifth chapter in Galatians through to the end of what is the chapter in our Bibles. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Last week we looked at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And today we're looking at verse 26, which in some ways doesn't seem to fit with what has gone before, and yet obviously there is a link. But of course, our Bibles put chapters, and actually this verse, this 26th verse, is the start of a new paragraph, and the paragraph ends at verse 10 of chapter 6. And so it goes through. However, we've been asked to look at this particular verse. Just revising what we have heard over the past weeks in just a couple of minutes, we see how Paul has outlined for us general principles that direct the positive use of this Christian walk that we're on, this walking in the Spirit, how we have been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, free by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. So we're now able or aiming to live a life that is a life of holiness, that is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We have to crucify the flesh to keep in step with the Spirit in our lives. But you know, Paul isn't content. If you know the scriptures as well as I do, and Paul is never content with just almost the general principle. He always likes to go into specifics. And he leaves the broad generalities. He leaves mere principle and he goes into levels of practice and specificity. And this really starts from this 26th verse and goes through to the 10th verse of that 6th chapter that I was talking about. We'll deal with chapter 6 or Simon will deal with chapter 6 in the weeks that lie before us. But in some ways, we can't separate this. We need to relate to that the verses in that 6th chapter to a degree, because all of them are relating still to that Spirit-empowered life that we have viewed previously. And he's talking about how we can live out this spiritual life. And this 26th verse that we see, and if you look at the 10th verse in the 6th chapter, they're like bookends. They're like bookends, as it were, and they show us together at a glance what the spiritual life ought to be, or maybe what it should not be. And what stands out as we read them, and maybe it's surprising, but I don't think it will be to you, that if we are keeping in step with the Spirit, so that if we are living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-governed life, it's not an individualistic and private affair. See what it says in verse 26. It says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." You see, a life that keeps in step with the Spirit is revealed and lived out in our relationships with one another. It is community. It's not just us. Living spiritual life, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, isn't just about me, my Lord, and my Bible, on my own, in isolation, enjoying a privatized, spiritualized, or spirituality that has no bearing on anyone or anything else. That's not what Paul is implying here. He's talking about doing good, walking that Spirit-filled life with one another, and particularly with the household of faith. And so living out this Christian life, living the Christian life, happens in community. And with these lists of conditions, they should be alien to us. You cannot be conceited about yourself. You cannot provoke yourself. You cannot envy yourself. That's towards others, which we must guard against. So here, living that Spirit-filled life is about community. But what is the opposite to pride and conceitedness? But of course, it's humility. It is humility. And the Spirit-filled life is a walk of humility. Now, that's not weakness. That's why we sang meekness and majesty. For there was one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And there was no weakness in our God, our Lord. We have to keep our hearts right towards one another, and it is done in a walk of humility. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard, certainly you'll know the surname of the famous inventor Samuel Morse. Now, can I say he's no relation to Morse, the detective on television? All right, Samuel Morse. He was once asked this: if he had ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. And Samuel Morse responded, "More than once. And whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding." Samuel Morse received many honors from his various inventions. Probably the most famous, apart from the code, is the telegraph. He was the man who invented the telegraph. But he felt really undeserving receiving the award. And at his speech of thanks, when he received it in front of many high-powered people, he said this: I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. I think that's wonderful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And this final verse in this, what we have as chapter 5, how it is so easy, isn't it, for us to fall into the comparison game? The comparison game. If you want to walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit and have the fruits of the Spirit, then we have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on the person to the left or the right and envy them or feel superior to them and feel conceited in some way. It's not that. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Look to Him. We keep our eyes on Him, which is the main thing. Not on people to bring them down. We want to bring them along. We don't want to bring them down. We want to bring them along so that they may know the Lord Jesus Christ. And through keeping our eyes on the Lord, others see our reactions, our responses. They hear our words. They listen to our conversations or are part of our conversation. And Paul recognizes that our responses are important within the community that we live. And that humble walk speaks vastly and strongly and loudly to people. Please do not get me wrong when I say this, but you know, there are people that you meet for whom you are the only Bible some people will ever read. The Jesus that you portray may be the only Jesus that some people would ever know. But we trust that through our walk, others will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit will draw them. It depends on us. And we have that example, as I have already said, that we read in Philippians, the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. There's a story told of two brothers who were brought up on a farm. One loved farming. The other, shall we say, he didn't. The actual story says he hated it. That's a strong word. But the one who hated farming eventually went away to university and he got himself a law degree, which is excellent, and became a partner in a prominent law firm within the city. The other brother stayed on the farm, doing what farmers do. One day the lawyer came to visit his brother, the farmer, and he asked, and he said this, "Why don't you go out and do something important? Make a name for yourself like I have, so that you can hold your head up high in the world like me." And his brother pointed and said, "Do you see that field over there? Look closely," he said. "Only the stalks with empty heads stand up straight and tall. Those that are well filled always bow low. The branch that bears the most fruit is bent the lowest to the ground." You see, the world would say one ascends into greatness. The Bible has told us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who descended from greatness and became the greatest sacrifice the world has known. You know, the way up for the believer is to go down onto the knees. And though the world would not agree, and we know what Vince Lombardi once said, although actually he wasn't the first man to say it, but it's been attributed to him ever since he said it because it was made public on the media. He said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. That's what the world thinks. But the perfect example of humility, walking by the Spirit, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who descended from glory into this sin-sick world. I pray that our walk would be honoring to the Lord, would be effective. We would be effective in our walk, in sharing the good news, whether through word or through deed, or through response, or through reaction. Paul said, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, but let us humble ourselves. Let us be those who live in the Spirit. Let us also be those who walk by the Spirit. Gracious Father, forgive us for taking so lightly sometimes the awesome privilege of representing you in this world. Help us to live so that no one will doubt our allegiance and to whom we serve. Father, we thank you that we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself. May our testimony be so clear to those round about us that there will be no doubt who we follow, who we serve. In our weakness, Father, we pray you would strengthen us. In our confusion, we pray that you will make our way straight. And Father, we pray that we will keep our eyes upon you, and that in all that we do, all that we say, we would honor you and honor you alone, for you alone are worthy, as we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.